We certainly need to pray for one another, and I certainly need your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless his word and it would honor him, and that you and I might truly receive a blessing that's beneficial to us as we journey here in this life. I'm going to read a verse out of Ecclesiastes, which is not really where I'm going this morning, but it's a thought about, you know, the circumstances of life as they are now compared to times past and the history given to us in God's Word. We're told in verse 9 of chapter 1, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. You know, sometimes I tend to lose sight of maybe the trials or the difficulties that I see the church under in the day and age in which you and I live. Because we've just lived a small portion of time compared to the time that God's Word declares the world or the earth has been here in humanity. But yet, Solomon, in his wisdom, said there is nothing new. So honestly, what's taking place today, it is nothing new. It's something that has previously happened. And if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return, it's something that will likely happen again at some future point. It may be beyond our lifetime, no doubt. But there is nothing new under the sun. And Solomon bases that great truth on the fact that man is sinful. His heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That has never changed. We all fall into that category. We all have that problem. So therefore, because of the sinful nature of man, it doesn't matter that we drive cars and they rode horses or that they walked or whatever the means of the modern world you and I live in doesn't make the man's heart any different. We're prone to sin. We're polluted with sin, and that's who we are. We're sinners. That's why grace is such a great blessing to us in life, and especially for those of us who understand it. But it should also be a concern. It's not something that we should just say, well, this is the way it's been. This is the way it's going to be if it goes on. It's just a cycle, and it is. So let's just let it go and not pay any attention to it. I think there's reasons that we find ourselves in the condition that we're in, just as there were reasons that God's people found themselves in like conditions in times past. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure, they will not put up with sound doctrine." Now, we live in a time where many of God's people have departed doctrine altogether. Now, the thing we need to understand is, in the old Baptist church, most everyone that you would speak to, when you mention the word doctrine, immediately by word recognition, tie that to the doctrines of sovereign grace and eternity. But doctrine only means instruction. And so every word in the Bible is given to us as instruction. It is doctrine. It's what God taught us. We pinpoint salvation by grace and call that the doctrine. But there are numerous doctrines and numerous teachings in the Bible which are all beneficial to us. We're told by Paul. Paul told Timothy in the third chapter, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable. Meaning it's profitable for some area or something in your life. It's beneficial. There's not a word in the Bible that does not have any benefit to you and I. If that was the case, God would have not placed it there. But Paul went on to tell Timothy, being in the Mamertine prison, he knew that his time was about over. He recognized that he would shortly be killed, put to death. He was executed, beheaded. We notice in Philippians chapter 2 that there was a time in his first incarceration that He believed he would be acquitted, and I think he was. He said he was between a strait. He desired to go and be with the Lord, but it was more needful for him to be with God's people. And he was confident that the Lord would deliver him, and he did. But as he ends the last epistle here in 2 Timothy, there's no doubt that he knew his time was at hand. And he was trying to encourage Timothy, who was very discouraged. You know, you don't like to be discouraged. And Timothy was the first century bishop of the church at Ephesus. We don't want to think the pastor could ever get discouraged or any member of the church get discouraged because he's to be a reflection upon the congregation. But I can tell you right now, Timothy was very discouraged for a number of reasons. But Paul, as he began to get to the end of his way, his life on this earth, he says, "For I am ready to be offered." He knew that he was going to be offered as a martyr. That's what was going to happen upon his service to God. He said, "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." This is the words of a dying man. And I'm not going to get into the depths of this, but this man was not concerned with how he was going to die or that life was going to be over. Matter of fact, if you go back and read the story of the Apostle Paul, he had more reasons to be discouraged than any of us that I can amount to. I mean, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. On and on goes the list of what Paul went through. But his chief concern was that he wasn't going to be here anymore, and he was to encourage his young beloved son in the ministry, Timothy, because there were things to come that Paul knew would come, and they would be a test of his faith. And friends, there'll be a test of our faith. I believe that today. I believe we're seeing a test of the faith of God's people in this very time in which you and I live. Paul told Timothy there is coming a time when folks will not endure sound doctrine, healthy instruction. It says, goes on to say, but after their own lust or their own desires, whatever those desires are in this life, it doesn't matter. He says they're going to turn from God and they're going to follow after the desires of their heart. Now, the Bible clearly teaches us that in a man, a child of God, one who has the Spirit dwelling within him, continuously clothed in this life in that carnal flesh, it has an ongoing battle. It'll never end in this life. It won't. Until you close your eyes in death and that Spirit that God put in there immediately returns unto God who gave it, this battle never ends. It's an ongoing battle. And it's happened before. So he warned Timothy that there is a time coming that won't be like other times. Maybe times in the past when the church began at Jerusalem and the apostles were all in one accord. They were together day in, out and day in praying and seeing to each other's needs and in a concern in the church there that would not be at a later time. He's encouraging Timothy to continue on, to continue on. Don't give up and don't give in. And, you know, that's hard. You know, I see myself in the same condition sometimes. The easy thing to do is give up. Things are not going the way you want them to go, falling in line the way you want them to fall in line. The houses are not as full as they once were. What's happening, you know? Doctrine's important, but we live in a world today that tells you, I just want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about doctrine. But I'm going to tell you right now, instruction in the Word of God is given throughout God's Word, and the word doctrine, which does mean instruction, is used all over Scripture. It is important. It would have not been put there. You know, there are many things we'll look at this morning if the Lord would help us understand how we got into this condition. But he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. What he really told them was, they're no longer going to hear the instruction that God gives. They're going to follow after the desires of their own hearts, and God will be put aside for their own pleasure, for their own benefit, and to fulfill their own desires. Now, Solomon told us that what we're going through has already happened, hadn't he? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 30 and let's take a notice at what happened to God's people in that day and in that time. Thousands of years before Paul instructed Timothy as he was about to depart this life. Chapter 30 begins, "Woe to this rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, to walk, to go down into Egypt." In the Bible, when you go down to Egypt, you go down into the world, into the philosophies and the ideas that man brings forth. That's what happens when you go down into Egypt. When we're looking under the God of heaven to teach us and to provide for us and to direct us, we're always going up to Jerusalem. But notice here, "that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." In other words, Pharaoh represents the kings of this world, the philosophers of this world, and the things that are going on in the world, and that's where these folks were seeking their counsel. They had put God aside. "Therefore shall their strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." He says here there's going to come a time that you're going to seek after the men of this world, the kings of this world, the philosophers of this world, and the ideas, and you're going to be going along doing all that the world has done, and it's going to be to your shame at some given point. And it's going to bring about a great amount of confusion. If I was to give a title to this sermon, it's the importance of God's Word this morning in our lives. And I can't stress that, and I have stressed that, but God's people didn't get from point A to point B or to Z, if you want to put it that way, by accident. A little here and a little there, they have departed the ways of the Lord. They have departed the doctrinal instruction that God has given. And after a number of years, in such a subtle way, and Satan is so good in being subtle in his help, they have departed. You know, I thought back as I was reading some of these verses, and I thought, when I was a kid, there was what you call the foundational denominations. There's always been divisions, you might say, under the guise of Christianity. You know, we've got the Catholics, the Primitive Baptists, the Southern Baptists, the Church of Christ. But nearly all those, what you call traditional denominations, are in great decline. And we have a whole brand of new churches that have risen up, and they seek to please the desires of the man. And in most of these churches, if you go study them, doctrine is not important. It's, you just need to love Jesus. You just need to be friendly one to the other. They'll actually teach a lot of them that God, if you'll come to church and you'll worship the Lord, that He will make you prosperous and all your life will be full of pleasure. But really, that's totally against the teachings of God's Word. But this is what happens when we depart the only true and living God, when we don't understand what God says. You know, I have spoken of this and I've thought about it on numerous occasions. Over the last few years, and me and my mom talk a whole lot, and I talk to other folks, I just can't tell you how many people I know that will tell you they believe this and they don't even know where it is in the Bible. I'm not even sure if they know it's in the Bible, but they've been taught this and they've carried this on so long that they believe it, whether it's in there or not. And they really do. You can believe something so long that it becomes the gospel to you. You've heard of a compulsive liar. They can lie so long as they believe a lie. You can believe something so long that you don't need the evidence and the proof given to us by thus saith the Lord to believe it. And we live in such a time and we've had such a departure from the teachings of God's Word that most people could not defend what they believe because they don't read the Bible, they don't study it. Now, I'm not telling you need to get up in the morning and read God's Word from sun up to sundown, but I'm telling you there's consequences for a departure of a society of God's people from His Word. Let's notice what happens over here to these people in Isaiah chapter 30. It says in verse 9 that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Sound familiar today? How many people do you know that just don't want to hear about God, don't want to go to church, it's not important to them, doesn't matter to them? This is not new, folks. This has happened time and time again, And you and I are living, I believe, in a time of decline that's not as bad as it was in Isaiah 30, but if the cycle continues, it may get there. It says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. In other words, Timothy was told by Paul there is a time coming when folks will not hear healthy instruction. They don't want to hear it. It's not important to them. They don't waste their time, or the folks would say, don't waste our time on healthy instruction. That time's coming, Paul told Timothy. Now you understand, a man is already discouraged. He needed the encouragement of a brother to continue on. You see, he'd priorly told him to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. In other words, he said there's going to be a convenient time when God's people are very receptive of the preached message. There's going to be seasons like that. We go through all kinds of seasons in our life, individually and in the church. And we're in a different season today than we were 40 years ago. Well, I can assure you that. We were talking about that other day at Bible study one night. And, you know, to me today, I don't know about you, brethren, but those of you that were in the church 40 years ago or went to church, I was a kid, the preaching was very hard for me to understand due to the velocity of the message, you might say. It was delivered so fast. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't paying a tremendous amount of attention and trying real hard as a young kid. But it was still, the velocity was, it was very, very accelerated. We went to places that had no cushions on the pews. Hardwood floors. Old water swamp coolers. We know people went to associations and they slept out in their cars and they would take a bedspread or a sheet, put it up on a few poles, and they slept out under that. And yet there were bukus, if you would, hundreds of more people attending services then than they are now. The greater the comforts have become, the less the attendance is. My whole point in that is not about those things, is there was something different. It was a different season. Them people wanted to be with one another. Them people wanted to dwell with one another. They wanted to rejoice with one another. They wanted to mourn with one another when it was a time to mourn, because we've always had mourning in our life. We've always lost loved ones. We've always had difficulty. But how did we get there? How did these folks get here? In verse 11 it says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's getting a very drastic place, is it not? Remove God from our lives. Tell us what we want to hear. He's a hindrance to our life. We cannot. See, what they don't want to do is be convicted. We're all that way. When we're doing something wrong, we don't want to feel bad for doing it. We don't want to feel like, well, we know we ought not to be doing that. And when the preaching of the gospel is preached in such a manner and God blesses it, much of it is a convictor of the error of our ways. But these people didn't want any of that. That's very similar to the direction in which we're headed now. My whole point in that is, this is not the first time. And if the Lord doesn't come back, it won't be the last time. But it is a time that is much different. Now, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's very profitable. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4 for just a minute, and we'll scoot along some of these areas. It says in verse 6 of 1 Timothy, let's get verse 1 and try to have some understanding of the need of the Bible. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, we know that Paul said in the latter days of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy 4, he gives us a picture in the first 5 verses of the moral decay of a society. That's what he's given us. And God's people are blended in that society. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I'm not going to accuse anybody out in the world to follow the doctrines of devils, but they've been seduced and they have departed the faith. We know a lot of people had departed the faith for the things of this world. But in verse 6 he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. There's doctrine. There's instruction that's not good. It's not wholesome. It's not beneficial. You know, there are doctrines of men. There are doctrines of devils. And then there's the only true and living God, the only truth that we have. We're told that the words of the Lord are pure. That word pure means that there is nothing in God's word that is not truth. It's pure. And God promised in Psalms 12 to preserve them from just generation forever. The context of this chapter 4 where we're at is God's people departing the faith. Did they lose their eternal salvation? No. That ain't, you know, Jesus made that clear. If you go read John 10 and get over this idea, anybody, that you can lose your eternal salvation, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. End of story. That means never. There's no sense in going back and arguing that point. But these people are departing the faith, and Paul here is telling Timothy, you need to preach the word. You need to keep those folks in tune with what God says and instruct them. He says, whereunto thou hast attained. We go to verse 13. Paul told Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading. You know, we might stop for a moment and say, well, this is one preacher to another preacher. Paul just told Timothy, my beloved son in the ministry. But I'm telling you, if we want to get back, and God has done miraculous things with two or three many times throughout the history of the God's word and in this world, it wasn't because droves of people come running back that the Lord's people. He's blessed congregations and nations based on the efforts of just a few. So to think that what you do is not making any difference, if your reading is not making any difference in the big picture, I can tell you right now, God can use what you do far greater and in a far bigger way than you could ever imagine. He calls upon us to be faithful because He is faithful. He goes on here and he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I'm telling you, we live in a world right now that all they want to do is say, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and there's nothing else necessary. We congregate together, we have a good time, we have a great fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with some of those things. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that the instruction of the Lord from start to finish is extremely important. And we look around in the world in which you and I live, and we wonder why we went from where we was maybe to where we are, just as it happened in Isaiah 30. If you trace the steps back in Isaiah 30, you'll find a time that those people walked in the ways of the Lord. They were close to the Lord. Their departure was subtle, and it was over time also, just like it has been in this country. We lived in two different seasons, if you want to know the truth. He goes on down here, and he says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Why would Paul tell Timothy to take heed to something if it wasn't beneficial, if it wasn't profitable, if it wasn't something that you and I need? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. When Paul told Timothy to do that, it wasn't just a line from Paul to Timothy. It's an instruction to every child of God. Because it is profitable. It's profitable, not only for instruction, but for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. If you want to be equipped to handle this life and your families and your churches and a nation not depart the only true and living God, it begins with the power of God's word. It's so important. I cannot tell you how important this book is to life, blessedness, happiness, for the future of every one of us. It's beyond my ability to express. And yet, for many years, I seldom ever opened the Word of God. I seldom ever looked at it. And now I wake up and I wonder why we are where we are. It's important. There are lots of folks going to churches that cannot tell you one thing about what they believe, or at least They cannot go to a scripture in the verses in the Bible and defend it. This is what they believe. Somebody told them. Somebody preached it. It doesn't matter. But even when we hear the word preached, we're to go to God's word and to understand that this was what God said, not what some man said. It's important. It's important. So take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. In doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's a deliverance here from error, is what this is. This is not a deliverance from death and trespasses and sins to life in Christ. This is a deliverance from absolute error in life, is what it is. And it requires that we hear the preaching of the gospel, that we attain to sound instruction. That's the words that are given us there if we don't want to depart. We don't want our churches to depart. But as you well know, we're in a season where things have changed. And I'm not any happier about that season than you are. But it's the truth. It's the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us not to waver. You see, when we're not steadfast and we're not grounded in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, oftentimes that's exactly what happens. We go to Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold fast means to be stationary, be steadfast, hold fast without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. We should not waver in our faith. And friends, we're going to be bombarded by everything there is in society, by many people, by vain philosophy. You know, the Bible tells us to shun vain and profane babblings, for they will lead to more and more ungodliness. But how do we know these things? Because God said them. Because thus saith the Lord. We're not going to wake up one morning. God give us his word to read, to study, and to apply to our life that we might recognize error. We might not fall into error. We need these things, and they're truly important. He tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that we're to be stationary. Galatians 5 and verse 1. It says, stand fast there in the liberty, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That word stand fast means to be stationary, not to waver. And when we don't read God's word, when we don't study God's word, we find that we put ourselves in a position to waver, to be tossed to and fro. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians 4 about this same subject. He talked about the gifts in the church. And in verse 14, he said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Paul said here, and he told Timothy as he was closing out his life, he says, it's possible if we don't embrace the word of God and we become grounded in God's truth, that we can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, we live in a time where change is on the horizon everywhere. And, you know, you and I are changing, and we can't do anything about it. I mean, every year goes by, and you look in the mirror, you've had some change that you may have liked or not liked. You know, some people say change is not good. Well, when it comes to you and I, it's good and it's not good. It's good that we're getting closer to going home to be with the Lord. Sometimes it's not good because as we change or as our lives, as we get older, we have more affliction. So it can be both good or it can be bad. But we live in a time where they're wanting to change the truth just as they did in Isaiah 30. They want to hear smooth things. They want to please themselves. They want to shun doctrine, the instruction that God give us to guide us, to direct us. You know, we're told to acknowledge him in all our ways and he shall direct our steps. That literally means that God's word and God himself should be a part of every area and every aspect of yours and my life. It's not always been that way, and I'm not certain with myself it's that way today, but that's what the word of God says. And Peter said over in 2 Peter chapter 1, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you be established. In other words, he basically said there are folks who were established in the truth, who wavered, who began to be tossed to and fro, who began to bring change about to the point that they were no longer established. Isn't that amazing? How you and I have got to hear the Word of God over and over. How you and I need to read the Word of God over and over. It's really necessary. God's children in Isaiah 30 got to the point that God was a hindrance to them. Because see, what happens to a people is they don't want to be convicted. Nobody wants to be told that they're doing something wrong. But you know, God never had a problem telling folks what they were doing wrong. And he gives that to us here in his word. And that's part of the power of God's word as we go through life, to instruct us in the error of our ways. But we sometimes are just like those folks were. We want to hear smooth things. Now, there are times that not every sermon is a convicting sermon, but many times it is. It's to instruct us in righteousness. And if we're not walking in righteousness, it should convict us, reproof us, rebuke us, convict us of the error of our ways. Now, why should we study God's word? Because it discerns the intents of our heart. It really does. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I believe it is. Don't find it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. That's a powerful thing, is it not? When we read God's word and make it a part of our life, it actually causes us or helps us discern the intent of our heart, why we're doing what we're doing. Are we doing it for God's honor, and because we love God, or anything else that we're doing? That's why God's word was given to us. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we're to shun profane and vain babblings. You know, things that are not beneficial to you and I, not beneficial to the church, we're to shun those things because they will lead to more and more ungodliness. The Word of God is extremely important in our lives. We didn't get where we are today by accident this season. We're in a season, just as Solomon said, those seasons have been in the past. Those seasons will come in the future until the Lord comes back. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15 to be steadfast. We're to be steadfast. We're to be diligent in the study of God's word and in the reading of God's word. It's extremely, extremely important. Now, people not reading their Bible is really nothing new. I don't know in my, I can't tell you, and I can't give you an answer to why it's so difficult for folks to make Bible reading an everyday part of their life. Some folks will tell you, well, it's just hard to understand. But honestly, I think most of us just are unwilling to take the time. I know I was. I don't know. You'll hear all kinds of excuses. But in Hebrews chapter 5, we find out a little bit about these circumstances. It says in verse 10 of chapter 5, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Well, these folks, that word dull, this literally means slothful. It means they didn't want to hear it. They wasn't interested in hearing it. This is what happened to the folks in Isaiah. They subtly departed the Lord over many, many years, and the Lord became a hindrance to their way of life and what they wanted to do, and they didn't want to be convicted of any wrong. That is a natural tendency of our carnal flesh, is to not be told that we're doing anything wrong. Matter of fact, even when we're doing wrong, we want to feel like it's okay. That's our nature. That's our human nature. He goes on to say, For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. This talks about folks that had spent years and years in the church. Matter of fact, likely some 30 years beyond the day of Pentecost when the church was first set up, and that magical sermon was preached by the Apostle Peter, where every man heard in his own tongue. Peter preached in one language, but everyone was there heard it in the language from the country from which they come. This was the power of God. But from 30 years beyond that time, these folks hadn't learned anything. Therefore, they wasn't able to teach the next generation their own kids and their children's kids. And this is something that subtly goes by time after years and years. And this is where you end up. Now, I'm not here to condemn any of us. It's happened before and it's our nature, but we wonder why. And we want to understand that the importance of this book is astronomical. I mean, it really is. The issues of life are found in the Word of God. Did you know that? The issues of life are found in God's Word, not in the philosophies of the world, not in the minds of men and women, but in God's Word. He says, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, have you ever thought about children? What if you didn't send them to school, and what if you didn't teach them at home? Where would they be when they're 20 years old or 30 years old? They couldn't read. They couldn't write. How many things could they not do if they was not instructed and taught? Most of what we do in life, we wouldn't know how to do if somebody hadn't taught us. Somebody hadn't taken the time to teach us. These brethren here in Hebrews chapter 5, they needed themselves to be taught again when they ought to be the ones doing the teaching, the ones giving the instruction. There's no doubt the apostle here is telling us how important it would be in our lives to do that. But sometimes we're too involved. Sometimes we've got too much going on. And you know, a little here, a little there, and our children grow up, we blink our eyes and time passes. I know the last 20 years in my life has passed, you know, unbelievably. And I'm sure for you. So all of a sudden we wake up and our children have not been instructed in the ways of righteousness. They have not been instructed in the profitability of the Scripture. And so here we are today. You know, some people will walk out and say, well, we're saved by grace. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. It does matter. And because God put it in His Word, it does matter. God didn't put those words in here to fill up His book, just to have some words written down on a piece of paper. It's important. God said it's important, not me. And if God said it's important, it ought to be important to you and I. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. In other words, if you hadn't been taught and you hadn't been trained, you know, we're to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means one-on-one. We're to tutor them. I didn't do that. I'll just be honest with you right now. But these are the things that will make a difference in the world in which you and I live. They really will. And sometimes it seems as though it's so broken and so far gone that why try? But as I stated a little earlier, I know Paul was telling Timothy that the things are going to get rough. It's going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of out-of-season times when people no longer want to hear the sound instruction that you're going to preach, but you keep preaching it. You keep moving forward. You keep the faith. You know, don't give up and don't give in. Just do what God said to do, and that's what we need to do, you know. Sometimes I get discouraged. Timothy was extremely discouraged, and you can read it through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And being discouraged is not something you turn a light switch on and off. I've seen ministers discouraged. I've seen Brother George extremely discouraged in my lifetime. And I'm not here to advocate. That's not a good thing. But I'm going to tell you, Paul was fixing to be put to death. His head was cut off, and he had no concern for his life. His only concern was to encourage his beloved son in the ministry. We need to encourage one another. Encourage one another in the Word of God. Strengthen ourselves in the Word of God and understand that God's still in control. He is. It doesn't matter if we get down to five people. We come here together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we worship Him. We do the right thing. We don't waver. We become stationary. We continue on. You know, what did He tell Paul there? He fought the good fight. We need to fight the good fight. We need to march on and continue on. We need to be steadfast in the faith, looking under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not to waver. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see what it means? You see, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Proverbs tells us that. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. We hear God speak to us when we read His Word. We hear God speak to us when it's preached. The evidence that you're a wise man is that you hear and that you increase in learning. A man of understanding is what that verse says. That's how we understand. We let God speak to us. We pray to Him to reveal to us. But if we're not in His Word, if we're not hearing His Word, you know, if you're like me, you just like God to come sit down in a chair over in the house. And, you know, that might be a little different than you and I would think, but I've thought that many times. Wish you'd just sit down there and start verbally speaking to me. But, you know, when Moses come before that burning bush, he was stricken down, and I don't think it was exactly like he thought it'd be either, and I don't think it'd be exactly like I think it might be too. But, you know, that's the kind of instruction we want. Sometimes we want God to speak to us in such a way that we can be convinced. We can be convinced that it is of God. But God's will is given to us in His Word. And if we're to understand God's will, we have to read His Word. We have to study His Word. We have to know it in our hearts. And Peter said, I've got to preach it to you over and over. That means we've got to read it over and over. You know, most books in our life that we read one time. And we pretty well get the gist of the book, and we throw it over on the counter, put it up in the closet, sell it, do something with it, never to see it again. But this is a book that continues throughout your life, and you'll never get it all. Matter of fact, we do good to graze the truths of God's Word, to know very little. Even the most studied person doesn't know very much about God, even though he studied His Word. That's how wise the God that you and I serve is. That's how much truth is given to us in His Word. It's a book for life. Not only do the issues of life flow out of it, it should be read and studied for life, because it's what equips us to deal with the things that we have in this life. Now, we're babes, and for a baby to grow up, he can't always have milk. But these brethren were in that condition. They were grown-ups, and they were like babes in Christ because they hadn't learned. They hadn't studied. They hadn't taken in what they heard and applied it in their life. But as we close today in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. That's because there's a battle out there, and there's always something out there that tends to drive us from doing what we ought to be doing, even if it's for our own benefit. Not just the benefit of others, but for our own benefit. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. In verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is a very important piece of His armor. Now, there's much more to be said there about putting on the whole armor of God. But I tell you what, the Word of God is a powerful thing in your life. It helps you discern between what is right and what is wrong. To do that God would have us to do. The children of Israel ended up in a place where they wanted God to be totally removed. Put the Holy One out of our sight. Do you know, does that not sound familiar, brothers and sisters? Do we not live in a time and a society when they're trying in every way to remove God? They remove Him out of schools. I tell you, if it goes on long enough, they're going to remove God out of every area of our life. That's what they did in Isaiah chapter 30. Don't think for one minute we can't get there, but we can make a difference. We need to be steadfast in His word. We need to be faithful because He that promised was faithful. That's God. We need to continue in His word, continue in His ways, and not depart the faith. Yes, there may be times we get discouraged, but we need to encourage one another. Paul, this man that was fixing to be executed and have his head cut off, did nothing in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy but to encourage his young brother in the ministry. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy, Paul told him to take a little wine for his stomach. I mean, he must have been under such stress that he was not physically feeling the way he should. He said it was good for his stomach. I mean, apparently he was nerve-ridden and everything else. You know, he told the Corinthians not to cause fear to come up on Timotheus, the young Timothy. He was discouraged, but Paul, even though he was ready to be offered, he wrote two letters to this young man to encourage him because he knew that life wouldn't be easy going forward. It won't be easy for any of us, but we need to encourage our young folks and everyone to continue to march forward in the faith and not to depart the faith, not to waver, to be stationary, and to look unto the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, because there are those out in the world that are going to be tossed to and fro. And when you don't know what God's word says, it's very easy to be one of those folks. God's word's important. His truth is important in every aspect and every area of our life. You know, when the Lord said in one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not steal," you know, has that ever become any less important than it was to begin with? No. We're not to steal from anyone. Not then, not now, or any other commandment that He give us. But you'd be surprised how many people don't know what God says because they don't spend any time in God's word. May God bless us to understand the importance of His word and the difference that it'll make in our lives, in our churches, in His community. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge God. And in doing so, God has promised to direct your steps. May God bless you is my prayer this morning. If there be one here that has a desire to have a home in the church, you come forward and the church will assist you at this time. You have a song? We're going to sing number 204 is our first song, then we'll give the right hand of fellowship.